Hope for the troubled soul. Write that down on the top of your notes page today, because this is going to be an encouraging word. Hope for the troubled soul. Open your Bible to the book of Proverbs. We're going to look at a great proverb today. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 14. Proverbs 18, 14 says this. This is coming out of the Message translation. It says, a healthy spirit. Listen to what a healthy spirit does. A healthy spirit conquers adversity. I like that. Anybody else ever face a little adversity? Just make sure I'm in the right room. If y'all are all like, nah, we ain't got no problems, Pastor, I'll go down the street and preach somewhere where like real life is happening, because I run into problems. I run into challenges. I'm not even looking for them. They find me all by themselves. But a healthy spirit, it conquers adversity. Look at the second part of this verse, though. But what can you do? What can you do when your spirit is crushed? What do you do? If it takes a healthy spirit to conquer adversity, what's that mean for me? Because I'm not feeling so healthy. This whole sermon series has been about this one premise, that you can only be as healthy as you are on the inside. That health flows from the inside out. Our key verse has been 3 John. 3 John verse 2, beloved, I pray that you may prosper, that you may be in health. What? Just as your soul prospers. That health, strength, power, that everything on the outside, it flows from the inside. And that could kind of be frustrating. Some of you are like, well, if that's what it takes, if you can only be as healthy as you are on the inside, I might as well give up right now, because I ain't feeling too good on the inside. I'm kind of messed up, kind of broken. I need a word that talks about, what do I do if the insides ain't doing real well? Well, you're in the right place for the right word today, because we're going to talk about getting that healthy spirit. God made you not just to survive, but to thrive in this world, to conquer the adversity that comes your way. A couple of things that we've learned on this journey. Hopefully, while I was in Israel, Mindy and I just returned from Israel, had a spectacular tour / mission trip, just to walk the streets and be in the midst of the same dust where our Lord carved out our faith. Was a very special moment. But Pastor Jackie should have brought a word about the soul as well, talked about the four things that your soul needs, maybe rest, responsibility, restraint, relationship. A couple of y'all are nodding at me, so you've heard those words before. It sounded familiar. Our soul needs these things in order to be sustained. It has to make sure that it's finding its rest, that it's fulfilling its responsibility, that there's the necessary no, that you've got to be able to say no to some things and not just give your soul everything that you think it needs, that we need relationship. Pastor Morris Sheets, a legend in these parts, preached last Sunday. He should have brought a word on thankfulness, just the power of thank you. When all of life feels like it's breaking out in the wrong direction, when Jesus was rejected by his own people, he just said, I thank you, God. I thank you for what you have done, for what you are doing. And here we are concluding our How's Your Soul sermon series with this message, hope for the troubled soul. So if it is true that I can only be as healthy as I am on the inside, then this is a major question that I want you to chew on. If the essentials of health flow from the inside out, what do I do when I feel like a mess? What do I do when I feel like a mess on the inside? Friends, I want you to know the Bible gives us some powerful answers to that question. But before we jump into what the Word says, I got to set up today with a story. You see, sermons are made up of stories, and stories come from life. And for me, life really is just the long love story of this girl that God has placed in my life that I have had the privilege of walking alongside for the past 22 years. But there was a moment in our story where we weren't so sure. Mindy and I oversee college ministry as part of our responsibilities back in Lubbock, and everybody's fallen in love, and it's just hilarious to see couples that are so uncertain and anything's possible, and they're beginning that dance that may last the rest of their life, but they don't know. And so every decision, every text, every social media post, they all matter. They all say something. It's good to sit with 22 years of marriage and a lifetime of love and to have that confidence and that inner peace. But there was a moment when I was pursuing Mindy, where I was chasing that girl down, and I didn't know. I didn't know if I had what it took to capture her heart, to be the one. I knew that I wanted to be the one. I knew that I wanted to walk with her for a lifetime. And I remember whenever I decided to propose, I'm like, wow, I gotta do something big here. We talked about it a little bit, so I was hopeful, you know, that we were already made for each other. But I remember that day, I wanted it to be so special that maybe I could create an awesome enough day to at least trick her into a weak moment of saying yes and then grab hold of her for the rest of her life. And so I had been a youth intern at First Baptist Church in Abilene, Texas. Kind of a highfalutin, upper crust kind of place. I don't know what on earth I was doing there, but I was hanging out with kids that were definitely driving a whole lot nicer cars than I did. And there was this one young man that I developed a great relationship with, and his dad had a membership to, watch this, to the Abilene Yacht Club. And y'all are like, Abilene Yacht Club? Is there a mud puddle big enough to get a boat on in Abilene? Actually, there is. It's called Fort Phantom Lake, just a big old mud puddle out there. And there was a couple of guys put together the yacht club. And you could go out to the Abilene Yacht Club. It was essentially this one dock. And you could rent a little skiff, a little small one-sail sailboat that you could go out on that little lake and have fun with. And me and this young man, we had gone sailing one day. And I thought, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put together a whole day to wow Mindy. And I'm going to take her sailing. And then I'm going to let her go home and rest up. And we'll finish up with just a spectacular evening. And then I'm going to propose to her. And this is going to be the moment. This is going to be the day that shows her that I can take her on adventure for the rest of her life. And so we showed up out at the lake. I put the sail up in this little boat. And she's like, wow, okay, cool. She'd never been sailing before. And what she didn't know is that I'd only ever been sailing one time before. And I found out a life lesson. That it is easy to sail when the wind is at your back. We jumped in that boat and we started out across the lake. And I'm like, look what I can do for you, honey. Look at the life that I can show you. Look at the way that I can lead our family and get us where we want to go. And we sailed across the lake. Then it was time to head back. I'm like, okay, I've seen this done before. We're going to tack. We're going to catch the wind, and we're going to make our way back across the lake. And friends, no matter what I did, I could not get that boat sailing in the right direction. And I'm trying to look cool while I don't know what I'm doing to impress the girl that hasn't said yes yet. And the rest of my life is hanging on this moment. We sail along, but we get blown off course. Okay, I turn things in the other direction. We sail along, but we're just not getting where we need to go. No matter how I try to turn, no matter how I try to steer this thing, the wind is blowing against us. And we are at the far side of the shore. So finally, I did what I had to do. I dropped the sail. I got out of the boat. And I got behind this thing. And I start pushing this boat. I am kicking this boat, trying to get it across the lake. I'm like, I'm going to get us there, honey. That was exhausting. So I decide to go around to the front of the boat and tie the rope around my waist. And I decide, okay, I'm going to get us there, honey. I'm going to get us there. That lasted about 30 seconds. And I'm hanging on the side of the boat. Honey, we're going to get across the lake. I promise. But you're going to have to get in the water and push with me. On proposal day. On proposal day. I can tell you what, it was not false advertising. I let this girl know what life with me was going to be like. I'm going to get us into some crazy messes. We're going to have fun getting there. And you're going to have to get in the water with me over and over and over again so that we can try to get out of these messes. And that's pretty much been the story of our life. But this is how I knew she was the girl. She jumped in the water. She jumped in right beside me, and we pushed that crazy sailboat all the way back across the lake. We pulled it up onto the dock, set it in place, and we have never been sailing again. I can tell you that much. Never have we been sailing again. We went out on a rowboat one time, but that was it. I proposed to her that night. Said, I can show you the adventure of a lifetime. And by the grace of God, she said yes. We've been pushing, pulling, trying to make a life together ever since. Friends, I tell you that story because that's the way some of you feel in life. And it's funny when it's a sailing story from your teenage years. We can look back and we can laugh. But what about when it's life? What about when you feel like you're pushing just to try and carve out a living? Just to try and hold your family together, just to try and stay in your house one more month when all the bills are coming due and everything looks like a mess, just to try to push through to that next doctor's appointment. What about when it feels like the real wind of life is blowing against you and you don't know if you've got what it takes? You don't know if you're going to make it. It's one thing to be failing at sailing. It's a whole nother thing when it feels like you're failing at life. You see, a healthy spirit conquers adversity. But what can you do? What can you do when the spirit is crushed? Friends, I believe that in those moments, we need an anchor. When the wind is blowing against us, when all of our efforts are getting us in the wrong direction, we need the capacity to drop an anchor. Something that's going to hold us fast. Something that's going to hold us in the midst of the storm. And I want you to know right now today, what you grab hold of in the midst of your storm, what you grab hold of matters. Anybody here ever grabbed hold of the wrong thing? Whoo! I have grabbed hold of a lot of false anchors in life. I have grabbed hold of things that I thought promised that they would hold me, promised that they would get me through, and they have let me down. I'll tell you what I've grabbed hold of. I've grabbed hold of some unhealthy relationships. Maybe some of you've experienced that. Those early years of adolescence, trying to figure out who I am and what life and relationship is all about, I grabbed hold of some very unhealthy relationships. Grabbed hold of people in the wrong way, trying to get somebody to sustain me. Maybe you're the one that can be the anchor for me. Maybe you can hold me when I can't even hold myself. And I've been disappointed. I've been let down. I've grabbed hold of some poor financial decisions. I mean, when everything's a mess, what if I just add some fuel to this fire by doing something really stupid financially? You know, that's going to fix the problem. Maybe it was an attempt at making my soul feel healthy and maybe tried to spend my way out of the emotional mess that I was in. Well, then I'm still in the mess and I've got to pay for this mess. And things just begin to multiply. Maybe there are friends in this room, you've tried to escape through addiction. You're like, I was just trying to numb the pain. It just hurt so bad. I wanted the pain to stop. There's a funny thing about pain, though. We might be able to think that we make it go numb for a moment, but whatever substance it is that we feed to it to try to numb it, that substance is going to wear off. And on the other side, the pain is still there. The problem is still there. I just haven't fixed a problem by avoiding it yet. My son's car is sitting in the driveway right now. Right before we left for Israel, it broke down and I had to go pick him up. And I just took the truck and parked it in the driveway, and I said, I'll take care of this when we get back. And I didn't think about it the entire trip until we were on the plane ride home. And I realized that truck is still there. You know, while I was away, that truck just wasn't fixing itself. It wasn't just magically getting better. And the problem that I had before I left is the problem that I've still got to deal with whenever I get back. And however far you've run and whatever you've tried to do to avoid, friends, it's still in the driveway, still staring at you. This is, hey, what you going to do about me, huh? What are you going to do here? And it's time. It's time to engage the problems instead of avoiding them. Here's the key truth I want us to grab hold of today. Nothing is going to get better till we grab hold of the right anchor. Some of you just need to write that simple phrase down, because you've been trying. You've been trying to make it better. It really was an attempt to make something better that led you where you went. But the truth is, if you're grabbing the wrong anchor, you're just going to sink deeper and deeper and deeper, my friends. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19 tells us something beautiful. It says, I love this verse. I love the whole Bible. But then there are these verses that just, they resonate. They touch something deep in my soul. We have this hope as an anchor. We have hope as an anchor for the soul. And look at the two words to describe it. It is firm. It is secure. We have hope as an anchor for our soul. It is firm. It is secure. The rest of that verse goes on to describe why we have hope as an anchor, because of what Jesus has done for us as our high priest, because of the sacrifice that he has made, because he has gone before us into the presence of God, and he invites us into God's presence. But we have hope as an anchor for the soul. It is firm. It is secure. Friends, when all of life is blowing you in the wrong direction, when you're failing at sailing, I want you to know there is an anchor for your soul. I want to take just a moment and share with you, when I consider an anchor, there are two things that an anchor does. Two very simple things that an anchor does that I believe hope can do for you today. The first is that an anchor creates a fixed point of reference. An anchor locks in and holds fast. When we feel like we're drifting in life and just wherever the wind blows is where I find myself going, how'd you get here? I don't know. Oh, no, I just was like just going with whatever the wind was blowing me, and here I am. No, an anchor locks us in and says the wind's blowing. The wind doesn't stop blowing, but I'm held firm. I am held fast. When I became a follower of Jesus, it wasn't long before I was introduced to the charismatic way of thinking, what some might describe as a word of faith environment, a word of faith expression, the power of words. And I was always warned and encouraged and exhorted, man, words have the power of life and death, and I had to guard my mouth. And so I always struggled because I wanted my confession to be the right confession, but I also was aware that things are kind of crazy around me right now. And how do I hold on to a good confession and acknowledge that this isn't the way it's supposed to be? And I finally discovered the language that helped me. And it's the reality that there are these two competing systems in life. We'll call one the truth. You see, truth is truth. Truth is unchanging. Truth is the foundation that the world is built upon and the principles that God has caused it to live by. Truth does not change. But I'm also aware that I'm surrounded by facts. There are facts all around me. And the difference between facts and truth is this. Facts are subject to change. The 15th was payday. Hallelujah! Money was direct deposited into my bank, and there was a fact. I have this much money in the bank. But today's the 18th. Three whole days between payday and now. And that number's not the same. What, was it a lie? What, did I not really get paid? No, it was a fact how much money was in my bank on the 15th. And it's a fact how much money's in my bank on the 18th. The fact just changed because of circumstances. Now, the facts may change according to needs and according to expenses, but the truth never changes. That God has designed me to prosper in His goodness. That God's promises are real over my life. That no matter what the circumstances of the facts change, I can be confident. I can be secure because I know the truth. Your medical diagnosis, that's a fact. We don't pretend like the doctor didn't say what he said. We've got to deal with that fact, but we don't lose hope because we know the truth. We know the truth of God's word. We know the power of the cross. We know that when Jesus died on the cross, that same blood that made a way for our sins to be forgiven, it made the way for our bodies to be made whole. And so we grab hold of truth, even when the facts don't make sense around us. Friends, I want you to remember that that one awareness could be the perspective that changes everything for you. That gets you out of the pit of discouragement. Deal with the facts. Take care of the facts. Facts, we don't ignore them, we don't avoid them, but don't let go of the truth in the process. We have this hope. What is it? It's an anchor for our soul. And an anchor is that fixed point of reference where I grab hold of truth no matter what the facts are around me. What's the other thing that an anchor does? It creates a fixed point of reference. And an anchor gives me handles. Man, my faith needs handles. Sometimes I don't know what to grab hold of. I don't know what to hold on to. Sometimes faith feels very, very slippery. I'm like, I'm trying to grab hold of this thing, but it just keeps squeezing out. And what hope does for me is it gives me a handle that my faith can grab hold of. When everything is moving in the wrong direction, I've got something that I can hold on to. And when I've got something that I can hold on to, then I can move forward secure. When I'm rock climbing, I've discovered something about rock climbing. That the more confidence that I have in my anchor, the higher I can climb. I was rock climbing with my boy the other day, my 16-year-old son. And I outweigh him by about 50 pounds. So I had him secure. And he could just fly up the side of that cliff. He could be almost what you would describe as reckless. Because I had him tied in. If he wasn't anchored to me, there's no way that he would behave like that. That he would take those kind of risks. Because the consequences would be dire. But Dad had him. Dad had the rope. So he could go up without fear, without worry. And then my dad was there with us on this day. We were out at Mineral Wells State Park. And my dad said, hey, you want to climb? He said, I'll hold the rope for you. Listen, I know my dad loves me. I know my dad's well-meaning, but number one, we can't get the harness around my dad's waist. And number two, he has never anchored anybody before. And so I'm going to climb up. You know how far I'm going to climb? I'm going to climb up as far as I think it's safe to fall. That is as far as I'm going to go. 3 feet. That's about it. Woo! This is fun. Because my dad has never held, he's never held an anchor before for a rock climber. And I'm only going to climb as high as I'm confident of my anchor. The Word of God says that we have hope as an anchor for the soul. And that means that you can climb. You can climb. You are not stuck. You're not without a path forward. The fear of failure has held you back for so long because you haven't seen who it is that's holding the rope for you. When a climber begins to climb, he says, on belay. And the anchor says, belay on. I've got you. And then he says, climbing. And the anchor says, climb on. Climb on. I've got you. Friends, today, I would hope that you could see the rope, that you could see the anchor, that you could just call out to God, on belay, and that you would hear the Lord say, belay on. I've got you. I got you, girl. I got you, son. You'd be able to say, climbing. And here's the word of the Lord. Here is the word of the Lord over you. Climb on. Climb on. Hope creates a fixed point of reference. It gives us something to hold on to so that we can climb. Let's be honest. Let's be honest about our anchors for a moment. Have you been holding on to some false anchors? That's why you can't climb, because you just have never been able to fully have hope? How do you know if you've got a false anchor in your life? How do you know if you're grabbing hold of the wrong thing? It's the answer to this question. Whenever you say, well, I'm going to make it, because how do you answer that question? When everything feels like it's going crazy around you, how do you answer that question? Well, I'm going to make it because I got money in the bank. Maybe. I've been doing that Dave Ramsey thing. I saved up my emergency fund, so no matter what happens, I'm going to be okay. That's your anchor? Your money? Whew. How's that working for you, huh? When money is your anchor, guess what? You get locked in. You can't live generously. The Lord encourages you to give, and you're like, I can't give. It's my anchor. I can't give it to somebody else. What if I need it? And when money's your anchor, what do? When the emergency hits and it's gone, and all my hope, all my confidence was in how much money I had in the bank, and now I don't have the money in the bank, and so now I have no confidence. It's just, I believe in an emergency fund. I believe in good financial management, but it's not where my hope is. Well, but I'm going to make it, Pastor. I'm going to make it because I got an education. That's what Grandma said. Grandma said, get an education. And I got an education, and so I'm going to make it. And your hope is in how smart you are? Woo. Yeah. Your confidence is in what you know? Man, if all I am in this world, if all I can do in this world is dependent on what's up here, this gray matter right here, I'm scared. I'm scared for you if that's your confidence, because you're going to reach that realization that you don't have what it takes, that you're not enough. And that'll create a stressful breakdown. But you know, I'm good looking, at least. I'm going to make it because I'm charming and I can talk my way out of any situation. And I can talk myself through. I can always get through. Somebody that I love very much lived that way for a lifetime. And at the end of his life, I saw one of the most lonely men in the world. Always charming enough. Always smart enough to get out of the next mess. But somehow, always getting into the next mess as well. And he chased down a life of charming until he just found himself at the end of a lonely road. You will reach the end of yourself. And you say, I know. And so that's why I'm going to make it. Because I got my girl. I got my little baby right by my side. About to quote a Bob Dylan song again. She's a trying to hide. Pretending she don't know me. I'm going to make it because I got my girl. I'm going to make it because I got my guy. Man. You see, here's the problem. Here's the problem with putting all of your hope in somebody else. Maybe you already know it. They're as messed up as you are. They're as messed up as you are. They're over there thinking that you're the one that's going to hold this thing together. And you're thinking they're going to hold this thing together. And you look at each other and you're like, I thought you had the rope. And they're like, I thought you had the rope. And nobody had the rope because nobody could hold on, because we were holding on to each other. Man, people, relationships, they're beautiful, but they don't anchor your soul. Yeah, come on. My wife and I pastored just a precious little church in Sweetwater, Texas for 14 years. And I used to prayer walk the streets of that little town. And one day as I was walking and praying, that's what you do when you prayer walk, in case you're wondering, you walk and you pray. Or you pray and walk. You can do it either way. They both work for prayer walking. Walking and praying, or praying and walking. And I was walking along and I found it. It was on the ground. And I picked it up. And I'm not sure if y'all can quite make this out, but if you were to take a good look, you'd see that this says the Love CD. It says the Love CD exclamation mark. Heart. This is the Love CD. Now what's the problem with this? This is half of the Love CD. Friends, think about everything that went in to me holding this in my hand in this moment. Some guy found his anchor. I found her. She's the one. She completes me. He sat down at his computer and he made the Love CD. This is our song. Oh, this is our song. Oh, and this is our jam. Oh, we slow dance to this song. Oh, we can shake it to this song. Somebody put together the soundtrack of life and labeled it the Love CD. And then something went wrong. Why did this happen to me? I thought she was my soulmate. I thought she was my anchor. She completed me. We knew each other a whole week. We swapped right and everything was going to be okay. It was going to be okay. And in an act of desperation and frustration, he hit eject on the CD player. He snapped the Love CD and tossed it out the window. And it landed right there on the side of the road where I could scoop it up and turn it into a sermon illustration for the rest of my life. I'm sorry for whoever made this Love CD. Let's pray for them right now. Help them, Lord. I pray that they've got a healthy relationship, that you're the anchor for their soul. Amen. But what do we know? We've all been there. We've all tried to reach that point where somebody could do that thing for us. We've been very disappointed when we found out they couldn't. Why? Because this is the way relationship math works out. Two broken souls don't make a whole. When you find somebody else that's broken and you say, you're broken, I'm broken too. Let's get together and see if the half of both of us can make a whole. And it doesn't. It just continues to make two broken people. You see, we've got to have an anchor. Something with handles, something that we can grab hold of. Things don't make a good anchor in our life because things don't have a soul. Things can't give us what they don't have. People don't make a good anchor in life because people are as broken as we are. So I need something in life that has a soul that's not broken to be my anchor. Anybody getting ahead of me on this? Anybody seeing where this is going? There's only one. There is only one unbroken soul in this world. His name is Jesus. And he came into this world, this messy world. And he lived an unbroken life. And then this world broke him on a cross. But even that brokenness couldn't win. He conquered the brokenness of this world. And he rose from the dead. First time I've ever been able to say this in a sermon. I peeked into the tomb where they laid him. He ain't there, friends. He's not there because he conquered the brokenness of this world so that we could have something to grab hold of. There's so much of this sermon, so much of this message that you agree with, that you can hear me with your mind and you can say, yes, I believe that. Friends, what are you grabbing hold of? Knowing the truth, are you still trying to anchor your soul in what this world has to offer? Knowing the truth, are you still trying to anchor your heart in some person to complete you? Today, I give you a better invitation to let Jesus be the anchor for your soul. Matthew chapter 14 describes a moment out on the lake. This is Peter's failing at sailing moment. I love it when the Bible connects with your silly stories. The Bible says that Jesus had fed 5,000 people, and that they were amazed because they had enough bread and they wanted to make Jesus king by force. And so Jesus had to quell this budding rebellion. He put his disciples in a boat and sent them across the lake. He dismissed the crowd. He went up on a mountain to pray. It says in Matthew 14, verse 23, after he had dismissed them, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. And later that night, he was there all alone. The boat was already a considerable distance from the land. It was buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. This is a picture of life. Everything was blowing against it. Jesus said, I want you to go across the lake. And they were obeying. They were trying to do the thing. They jumped in and they were going. These were experienced sailors, men who knew the waters. But the wind was against them. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. Man, we've read that so many times we forget. He walked on the lake. And when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage. I love that phrase. Take courage. Like Jesus is passing it out like it's an in-flight snack. Man, here, I got some courage for you. Some courage for you. You get some courage over there too. Take courage. It's I. Don't be afraid. Well, Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. I love, Peter set himself up for this mess. Lord, if it's you, tell me to come. So Jesus is over there. He's doing the calculation. Well, it is me. I know that much. So come on. Sometimes our own prayers get us into the messes that we get into. Lord, if it's you, tell me to come out on the water. Come, Jesus said. Peter got down out of the boat. Peter walked on the water and he came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And then he began to sink and he cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand, caught hold of him and said, ah, you had a little bit of faith. But why did you doubt? What did Peter doubt in that moment? Was Peter doubting God? Was Peter doubting Jesus? Jesus was still standing on the lake. He wasn't doubting that Jesus could do what he could do. Peter started to doubt himself. He said, I don't belong here. I'm in the wrong place. I got myself into a mess. And he began to look at all the circumstances. And he began to sink. Friends, if you feel like you're sinking because the circumstances around you have just been a mess, there's an anchor. There is somebody on the water that you can grab hold of today. Would you all stand with me as we close in prayer? Jesus, I thank you for every friend in this room. Stories, so many stories. Journeys. Fears and frustrations. God, every person in this room, we could all make the same declaration. We're trying, Lord. We may just be trying wrong. Today, if you've grabbed hold of a wrong anchor, I would just invite you to let go. You don't have to bail out of relationships. I'm not telling you to go and make some sudden change. Just if you're grabbing hold of the wrong thing for life and for security, it can't give you that. Let go of wrong anchors today. Some of you just, that's the declaration, the act. You're just opening your hands right now to let go. And today, I invite you to see Jesus walking on top of your storm, of your mess, of your crisis. It hasn't knocked him down. It hasn't blown him over. The greatest storm that you've been in the middle of, Jesus is still walking on top of it. He is Lord of your storm. Walking on the water of your lake. Would you stop seeing the mess long enough today to grab hold of him? Lord. Lord, save me. I'm going to stop dragging people down with me in this mess. I'm going to stop holding on to things that can't save me. Lord, I look to you. parents who are so, so worried for your children right now. You can't make their decision for them. But you can place your hope in Christ for them. You can let Him be the anchor in how you relate to your children. For that business that is eating you alive right now, the stress and the chaos, the problems still need to be solved, but they don't have to take such a toll on your soul. You can grab hold of Him because He is walking over that storm. We love You, Lord. And we look to You. We're going to make it. Not because we're good looking enough, not because we're talented enough, not because we're educated enough. We're going to make it because we're grabbing hold of the right anchor. Can you say amen, church?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.